What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Can my Muslim or Buddhist friends be godparents? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. My name is George Samietz, and I am serving congregations in Brandon and Coventry, and also teaching part-time at Westville House in Cambridge. Today's question is a summary of some questions that have come to me via emails and discussions relating to godparents. The latest one was the one I mentioned at the beginning, and it related to whether, in an increasingly secular world, having a godparent of faith was better than not having a godparent at all. So in this straight answer, I'll quickly cover issues surrounding godparents, and if I miss the issue that concerns you, please email me your question to Lutheran Radio UK. The email address is info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Can my Muslim or Buddhist friends be godparents? A godparent is a person appointed by parents of infants or children being baptized to help the parents with the upbringing of the child in the Christian faith. Godparents attend the baptism, usually, and answer two sets of questions in the baptismal service. The first set of questions, or question, the wording and number may vary, looks at what the parents and godparents are saying they will do as a result of the baptism. Just as we don't give birth to our children and leave them in the hospital with a note saying, "Hope you make it, kid. By all means, look us up when you're 21. We'd like to see how you've turned out." But rather, we bring our babies home and care for them physically and teach them so many things in their early years. Think walking and talking, for starters. But you could also add morals, manners, identity, information about being safe, and so much more. In baptism, we are born again. And when this happens for littlies, then we are adding to all the learning and growing up the children are doing. We are teaching them about their faith. We are helping them grow in their faith. So with their ABCs, we teach them about the Word made flesh. So we're teaching them about baths and hygiene and washing their hands before they eat. We might also teach them about how God cleans us with baptism and the absolution he offers and gives. With this in mind, parents and godparents are asked in churchly language the basic question. God gives to your little one life with him, a new birth. Your baby is a new creation in Christ in baptism. Will you bring him or her up in this faith? Will you nurture and guide the child to know how much God loves them and help them to live in that love through faith? So godparents are actively involved and make promises to God to that effect, in assisting the parents in the spiritual upbringing of the child. The second set of questions relate to the faith that is given in baptism. Faith is a relationship, a trust, that is grounded in God himself, who he is, and what he has done. It's not a magical will-of-the-wisp thing, but is something that can be expressed in words, which we call a creed. So God gives salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, and faith in baptism as we are linked to Jesus' death and resurrection. The response to this gift is saying what we believe. Now, many people think that Lutherans and other churches which baptize babies are pretty whacked, precisely at this point, because the babies can't speak, but gurgle. And they certainly don't respond to God's gifts in baptism with the creed. However, that objection only shows that people are not looking in the right place. If baptism is determined by our human response, then you will ultimately have no confidence in it. Baptism is all about what God does, what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and what God does to each person baptized now. And that is all determined by God's word, what he says, which makes it reliable. The ability to respond is not the critical thing for the gift to be given. I can give your baby £1 million, and it belongs to him or her, and they don't even know about it. You as parents do, and possibly you'll be saying something in response to such a gift, but the baby still just gurgles. Nevertheless, has the baby received this gift? Yes, because I gave it. Similarly, God gives his gifts irrespective of whether the recipient can speak yet. In my million-pound example, and in baptism, the children will grow up knowing who they are as people who have received these gifts. The gifts will shape their lives, their growing up. And so, in the baptismal service, the parents and godparents confess the faith that God is giving in baptism, which is also the curriculum, as it were, that they know they are going to teach to the baby. This is who you are, a child of God, loved by God, and this is what it means for us now. As you explain all the things in the creed about God, and also such things as the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and what baptism and Holy Communion are all about. So godparents are tutors or skilled workers taking on an apprentice, for they're involved in bringing the reality of faith, the nitty-gritty, the realities of joys and struggles to their godchildren, helping them to know who they are in Christ. Children grow up learning their names, first name, surname. They grow up learning what it means to live in their family and not another family. Similarly, Christian babies grow up also learning and knowing their identity in Christ, that they are alive in Christ because of baptism, and what it means to live in this family and not another family that follows another God. Godparents very much can be seen as people who are doing that already, living with Christ, and they're using their understanding of the Bible and their experiences of the faith to help the children grow. So with this understanding of what godparents are and do, it is pretty obvious why the church expects them to be Christians, fellow followers of Jesus, who will help their baptized godchild grow in that faith that they have, and which is given in baptism to their godchild. Godparents, therefore, should be chosen because they are able to take on this role for their godchild. This line of thinking also has a long history of denominationalism, whereby churches have expected that the godparents' understanding of the Bible and their experiences of the faith are in sync or in alignment with the faith taught in the church. The goal is to provide the most stable education and nurture for the child, which happens when parents are in agreement about what is taught. So in speaking about faith matters, one might find it difficult, for example, to invite someone who believes that only adults should be baptized to be a godparent, for we'd presume that this godparent at some point would teach their godchild or simply model the attitude that infant baptism is not in keeping with God's will. Similarly, this might also happen with Holy Communion or the work of the Holy Spirit, and the differences might be confusing for the child. How denominations view this matter today varies between having godparents who are in denominational solidarity with the parents, through to having godparents who are Christian and who promise to help the child grow in the Christian faith with its different confessions and teachings. Now, I know I haven't spoken about the history of Christian sponsors or the process of instruction called the catechumenate, which prepared people to receive the sacraments. Can I just say for now that any delving into history on Christian sponsorship will reveal this to be an active role of one Christian supporting and helping another person to grow in the faith before and after baptism. So to the question about who can be godparents, especially that of other faiths. Well, from what I've said, can you see the incongruity or the mismatch that exists? I'm not sure how a Buddhist or a Muslim or a non-Christian would be able to answer the questions asked of them and carry out the role expected of them if they themselves don't believe Jesus and the Christian faith to be true. The church would also find it awkward and not very respectful of these people's beliefs if we asked them before God to make promises about their forthcoming role and expected them to do these tasks when they've said that they don't, for various reasons, believe that Jesus is Lord. There's also a further dimension here in relation to the Muslim person being asked to be a godparent. It boils down to, do the parents know what they're asking in this case? I can't see a Muslim saying yes to such a request for the following reason. Islam regards Christians as people of the book, and so perhaps as a sort of cousin, though Muslims specifically reject Jesus as being the Son of God and regard him only as a prophet. However, in regarding Jesus as both human and divine, and in also believing in the Holy Spirit, the Christian understanding of God as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, commits the most serious sin in Islam, shirk. For Muslims, Christians have really got this wrong by assigning status and worship of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to God, and in so doing, commit this most serious sin. Now, all this gets focused, so to speak, in Christian baptism, whereby the baptized person is renamed or brought into God's family and therefore receives the family name, so to speak, and that clearly is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christian baptism is always and only to be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my understanding of Islam suggests to me that faithful Muslims would not want to be put in the position of being associated with shirk by being part of a Christian baptism as godparents. When you ask someone to be a godparent, you are asking them to work, to do a job, full time. There is no end date, really. If we want someone to do a job for us, we generally check their qualifications, their skills, their experience. I'm not sure why the selection of a godparent should be any different. You don't need to have them. They are not an essential part of Christian baptism. While they might be almost regarded as an essential part of the Christian culture surrounding baptism. When we understand what their role is, then we are better placed to select from those we know who is best to fulfill that role. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.